Dear listeners, this podcast is created by the Lingvistov team.
If you want to practice and improve your English in a fun and creative way, please visit our website www.lingvistov.ru.
And if you want to share your opinion and ideas regarding our discussions, you can email us at info@lingvistov.ru.
Good morning.
Curious how 2 days ago I had from 6 to 7 hours of sleep and still overslept, and how today I had 4 hours of sleep, and yes, now I'm perfectly wakeful.
Maybe that's your conscious.
Yes. Yeah, I thought about just that. That's not laziness, but conscience is the engine.
Yes.
Is the engine of progress.
You've had pricks of conscience this morning, even when you were sleeping. That's why you didn't oversleep.
I wonder why my conscience hadn't given me nightmares.
Asha and I standing and reminding you.
Rather reprimanding me.
Maybe threatening you with a punishment if you do not show up today.
I would never forgive myself another time.
So how are you? How are your studies? Did you start to teach your students? Because you are now a professor. You carry that proud title.
No, I was... I hurried to boast my professorship. They found a substitute of real professors, yes. So now I do not have to teach anyone anything but my few students via Skype. Fortunately or not, I don't know yet.
Training?
I'm so surprised.
I was surprised too, because it's been fantastic weather these days, maybe like 3 weeks. No rain, sunshine, and very comfortable temperature, but...
Now everything is back to normal.
Yeah, exactly. I was waiting for this moment, so yeah.
Now I guess everyone, you know, gave a sigh of relief and thought, okay, now everything is fine.
Yeah, I bought an umbrella. I was waiting.
Oh, congratulations.
I was waiting when I will finally be able to use it. So
you haven't used it yet.
The moment has come.
Yeah. Oh, yes, great, yeah. So there will be a great, how do you call it, debut?
Yeah. Yeah, a debut for my umbrella.
Oh, yeah, speaking about the debuts, as you know, we have great friends, Orion, yeah? Orion, how do you call it, is a band, a rock band. And we actually published an interview with its founder, Dmitry Lobov. And my brother joined them, as you know, he plays the bass guitar there. And if I'm not mistaken, this...
Is it bass or bass?
For me, it's bass.
Sorry.
Well, it's my English.
I'm sorry.
My language is...
Bass guitar.
you have just ruined my world, that's why I couldn't ignore it.
I play bass guitar like
yes,
bass.
I like it. So anyway, he plays a bass guitar. I don't care. So,
okay.
Yeah. He had his first concert as a member of this band. It was a small concert for charity, but still he played. He joined them, so now he's a proper member, and I guess they had a celebration afterwards.
How was his debut?
He said that he rocked.
A week ago, I went to St. Petersburg to a gig of the British metal band called Paradise Lost. It was my first experience standing very close to the scene where a bunch of really hardcore men played their music.
I guess you felt at home, surrounded by these hardcore men. With beers, I suppose.
You were one of them.
Yeah. In the crowd there were not so much, but on the scene, yes, these men had gorgeous beards, and it was so much mad drive. And first time in my life I participated in a mosh. You know, mosh is when people at the very top of their emotions, they start to push, pull, throw each other. Yes, and without intent to harm, to battle, just to release pure energy fed by music. I participated in that. I was pulled into that ring of moshing people, and I pulled myself, and I pushed, someone I threw, and I was thrown, and it is very, really hard to remember how exactly it went.
I don't know, it sounds like a very male thing to do.
Well, there were a few ladies.
Just a few. Just two of them. And mind, there were.
I understood that I like hard music. Before that, I had listened to maybe a score of compositions by these musicians, and I liked only maybe five, six. But when they play this live, every song sounds gorgeous.
I guess the main reason why concerts are so fantastic is this feeling of togetherness. When you are listening to music at home, or when you are going somewhere in your MP3 player, it's just you and the music. It's a duo, yeah? But when you go to a concert and you see, I don't know, maybe not hundreds, but enough people who love just the same music as you do, then this feeling of togetherness is created. And that's the most amazing thing, I guess.
That feeling, of course, was in me. And from the very first seconds, the crowd lifted their hands as one and began to move these hands. Funny thing how it was like a few hundred people below, close to the scene, and there was VIP area, which was, to my amazement, very far.
Maybe they were not participating in mushing.
They were not, yes. They were sitting at their tables or drinking beer and just watching, not even listening.
I guess it's their loss, yeah, because...
Absolutely, I don't know. Maybe they just didn't study the architecture of the concert hall. And they just thought, I am VIP, I'm going to be the closest to the musicians. And I was pretty close, because I was one of the first to come, until I had to wait for an hour till the gates were open. And after the gig, I had to spend the night at a railway station.
Why did you call me?
Too far to get to you.
You should have called me. you didn't have to spend the night on the railway station. It's not safe.
You have to experience it, sleeping in a train station. How was it? Was it romantic?
Absolutely not. It was it was curious how through all the day we had spent with my friend in St. Petersburg, we were afraid to go to spend the night at the railway station. We were afraid to be pushed off by security guards. But when we went desperate and entered the waiting room of the railway station, we saw 10 of people sleeping there. And so we just joined in.
Mm. I guess it's a guide to survival in major cities. So when you want to fall asleep, go to a train station.
That was the advice that I received once when I was in Moscow. And a very poor student. I had to spend the night in Moscow, and one of the strangers told me that the best way is to go to the railway station.
Mm. I guess it's like 24/7. It's
yes, but there are so many strange individuals that It's better not to fall asleep, actually. Otherwise, you can wake up without your passport, without your money. You wake up and you become one of them.
I think that if you are with a friend...
you can do,
shifts.
but I was alone. She's like, welcome to the club, Danielle.
We had our share of sleeping in train stations.
Yeah. Have you slept in the train station?
Yeah, sure, of course.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Also in Moscow, if I'm not mistaken.
The secret society of railway station sleepers.
There are some people who want to shoot a film, so they're filmmakers, and I guess I'm going to upload an interview with them soon. I had to make a brand book for them, so with pictures, because they're going to shoot a film in the style of Harry Potter or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that. Did they promise to make a video for us?
Yeah.
Are they these guys? Oh, okay.
These guys. So I finished it, and I hope that, maybe next summer, we're going to shoot a short film. But right now we need a script. It will be low budget, but it has to have an interesting idea. She strolls through the city in search of curious things, people and events. Thank God St. Petersburg have never suffered from the shortage of any of these three. Our one and only Asia.
Wow, hey. Thank you.
He's also discovering what the magnificent city of St. Petersburg has to offer, as well as trying to concentrate on his studies. Our teacher, who in his free time sleeps in train stations, to each his own, I guess, Daniel.
Yes, I have my gratitude.
And she discovers the curiosities of her own imagination. My brain is my wonderland. This has to be her motto. Landish.
Oh.
Hey.
Traditional cultures in general and shamanism in particular are gathering strength in the northern part of China, where the Mongolian minority dwells. China is the country of rapid change and declined atheism, and Mongolians cling to the past in order not to be swept away by the present and carried away by the future. People go to shamans for piece of advice, moral guidance, and cure for ailments. Shamans themselves go twice a year to their ancestral lands and commune with spirits of nature through jumping and bonging in feathery outfits. However, Chinese do not welcome such incline in Mongolians because, in their opinion, it sometimes inhibits progress. Nomads, herders, and peasants are almost unable to fight against building railways, roads, and plants, so they turn to religion to seek comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to me quite a curious piece.
Oh, that's quite interesting. Yes, to go to a shaman.
Yeah. Yes. Have you ever been to a psychic?
No, I once was accompanying my friend when I was about 13. She went to a fortune teller, and I was with her. But I was not planning to receive any predictions. But then, just because I was there, I asked whether I have anything bright in my future. And the fortune teller looked at my palm and said that that was a man. And he said that he was not going to tell me about my future. I just showed him my palm, and he looked and he said, "No, I don't want you to be here. I will not give you any information." I was like, "Why?" He said, "Well, just don't feel like it."
Well, like, maybe it's like spoiler alert.
but he was blind, actually. He touched the palm. After that time, I lost interest. And I have never been to a psychic or fortune tellers again. What about you? Have you ever been to people?
No, I haven't. My mom is kind of into that type of stuff, so it's quite ridiculous. I usually, because you have to bear with it, you have to go with the flow, and sometimes she does some weird stuff. But I have never been to a professional fortune teller in the research kind of thing.
There's a parrot in Kazan. What's the main street in Kazan?
Bauman.
Bauman Street. So there is a parrot in Bauman Street who gives, who tells you about your future.
Oh. And just by itself there?
No, there is somebody
controlling
and receiving the money.
Mm-hmm.
Its name is Jora. And I guess it's still alive. But anyway, after school, I went to... I went to Kazan to enter the university together with my friend. And my friend asked Jora whether she was going to be accepted in the university. And Jora said yes. But she was not. She was not accepted. And
maybe she didn't specify what university.
No, and listen, she was not accepted. And moreover, she failed every exam. And she was so depressed. And I asked her, but Jora said you would be accepted. And the point is, when Jora told her that she will be accepted, she stopped worrying. She stopped preparing. She was so sure. So she decided to go to college instead of university. And 2 years later, she tried again, and she was accepted. And I told her, see, Jora was wrong. And she said, no, he didn't specify the year.
Yeah, true, actually.
So, yeah, if you want some information about your future, go to Kazan. Jora is now telling the future.
Does he only say, like, yes or no?
I guess there is a hat with small pieces of paper. You just ask a question and it takes a piece of paper, something like that.
That reminds me, do you remember the World Cup? They had an octopus, a German octopus.
Yeah, the...
Paul, yes.
Yeah, so that's quite a similar situation.
2 years ago, my friend and I, we were on the way back to our dormitory through the region where it is situated. And, well, in that region, some gypsies live. And there was an old gypsy woman who nobody wanted to meet because she was insisting with her promises of future telling. But still, my friend stopped. She handed her a 50 rubles note, as far as I remember. Yes, and she began to tell him things so general that it wasn't like fortune telling at all. Yes, no, you have problems. Yes,
you will marry.
Some time in your past, you had unhappy love with a woman, with a girl, and things like that. Yes, it was. It was ridiculous.
I'm quite scared of these gypsy women. I try to avoid them, try to avoid eye contact.
They can if you look into their eye, they can steal your soul.
Ah, no! Oh, you make it worse for me.
That's the idea.
And why would they need our souls?
They sell it to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And
For going on to be gypsies?
No, the gypsies is just a shell, you know.
It's more like a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle. They love this vagabond lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So they just enjoy it, but it's not for the sake of money, of course. They have enough. And they are stealing souls.
And horses.
Yes.
Horses, well, yeah.
I guess there is a difference between fortune tellers and psychics, yeah? Mediums. People who can talk to the dead.
Mm-hmm.
I had a discussion with someone recently. They asked me whether I'm not interested in knowing my future, and I said no. It's my future. Let it be a surprise. I'm mm-hmm. absolutely...
Do you think that it is predetermined that you have a certain destiny, or do you think that you can always change?
Oh, that's an eternal question, I guess.
Well, what's your general opinion?
I think everything happens by chance, and there is no predetermination in our lives. Everything is chaotic and happens accidentally.
Yes, I agree with you that everything is chaotic, but you know, I still believe that there are certain strings between events, like one event derives from another event, or
sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's hard to see the logic. That's the point.
Well, yeah.
There can be 10 events and only 3 of them lead to other events.
Well, yeah, it's true. But still, I guess there is a sort of, you know, a butterfly effect.
Of course there is. But again, if we think about the future and the connection between the events, and people say that everything that happens happens for the best. Well, if you look at people's lives, I can't really say that it works.
No.
Especially if you look at...
I guess because there is no clear line between the good and the bad.
Yes, and we are going from past, present, and future to morals. From past, present, and future to good, bad, and average.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Daniel, you do believe in destiny.
To my mind, and this mind has formulated a few seconds ago, our past absolutely predeterminates our present, but our future cancels that predetermination. So our present is somewhat somehow torn between our past and our future.
I agree with you.
No determination, no predetermination.
Can you say that again? So
our past predetermines our present, but our future cancels that predetermination.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Why? Why does it cancel?
So there is no actually present. There is only past, and there is future. Because time flows. It doesn't stop. If time stopped, it would be present. But time never stops.
Yep.
Things like now... That moment, they are just...
There is no now.
They're just fantasies, yes.
Yep.
Simplify our lives.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so past, present, and future walked into the bar. It was a fantasy.
Dogs basically don't care if you are a robot or a human. Your dog is not going to miss you after the robot uprising. In a recent experiment with sociable robots, scientists found that dogs learned quickly how to interact with robots just as if they were human. The scientists designed 2 experiments, one with a social robot that spoke with a human voice, displayed a human face on its monitor, and had hands, and one with a social robot that emitted just beeps. The dogs responded to the social robot as if it were a person, while the dogs didn't interact with the robot to the same extent that they normally do with humans. They spent more time hanging out near the robot or looking at its touchscreen pad when the robot behaved socially. They were better at finding hidden food in the room when the social robot pointed to it, rather than the asocial one, though neither held a candle to the results when a human pointed to the food. There you have it, folks. With just a bit of training, your dogs are happy to play with the robots instead of you.
Well, it's always been that, yeah. Dogs love anyone, and the cats don't care about anyone.
For cats, they don't give a damn. Yeah, if you are a human or a robot or, I don't know, a piece of furniture.
They can scratch it. I guess there's a difference between playing and... physical attachment, emotional attachment to people. I mean, I'm talking about dogs. They can be happy playing with robots, but they will not be loyal. They will not miss this robot.
If you can't decipher between a robot and a human, maybe they look the same, they behave the same, maybe, but inside it's a robot, but not a human.
Robots do not have smell. Maybe this is why...
Dogs wouldn't be too attached. Maybe they could emit smell. Maybe they could emit heat as well. So it will be like a proper human being outside and touch, smell.
I still think that animals are more than that. They feel on the emotional level or maybe on some other level the difference. So whether it's a cat or a dog, I think they can have a good time with robots.
Yeah, like,
they can play and have fun, but when it comes to loyalty or some attachment, then I guess no. Even if they smell like people, behave like people, and look like people, I guess the animals will always feel and feel the difference.
Can you please enlighten me, because I don't really have much experience with dogs, but if for example a dog has an owner, just one owner, for example, does he remain loyal to only this person till the rest of his life? Or, for example, if his owner dies, does he become loyal to the second owner? How does it work?
Well, in most cases, I guess, yes. If something happens, if the dog is lost, and a new home is found for it, then after some time, the dog develops loyalty to another person. I guess mostly, but like Hatiko,
yeah. Maybe there are certain cases.
There are certain cases when dogs remain loyal to only one person, but I don't know. You know, it's very hard to see the difference between the instincts, the reflex, and the emotional level. You have to be an animal psychologist to see the difference, because it's really hard. Like, if you look at Hatiko, the movie, the famous movie with Richard Gere, then you have to question yourself, why did this dog come to the rail station, every day? Was it the expression of loyalty, or was it just a habit? The automatic behavior, you see. So of course we people, we want to see romantic context, but maybe it was just a habit, automatic, no reason. Maybe this dog didn't even remember his master. It just came because it came to that railway station many years, every day, and that's it. So I guess if we talk about dogs, it's hard to see the difference when the reflex ends and the emotion begins.
Right now, Asia, you ruined this perfect, wonderful myth of Hatiko for quite a lot of people. Is there something that you want to say about Santa Claus?
Well, it's my subjective opinion. Of course, I'm not going to tell you that dogs are not loyal. I think they are very loyal, but you have to see the difference. That's what I'm trying to say. And a lot of behavioral patterns are just based on habits. That's it.
I remember a funny picture in connection with that. A picture of a cat sleeping on a tombstone of some Iraqi soldier. And there was a caption like, you think that this cat is loyal and this is very romantic and shit. No, he's a damn cat. He just likes to be comfy.
Yeah, he's probably... he lies in the sun, so it's...
it's much simpler than we think. Even when we talk about cats or dogs, people like the this image of loyalty, but it's much more primitive, I guess.
Sorry
if I ruined your picture.
Well, I suppose we have 5 minutes left.
Okay.
Let's waste these 5 minutes.
Let's waste them. So I guess today we're going to have this lecture.
American accent versus British accent. Just the basics of accent. That's it. Because you have to. You only have 1 hour, and a lot of things to say. So I've just chosen some basic aspects of. American accent, which is of course very, very basic. But I just looked through the people who signed in, and I've seen that they are not professional linguists and are far from teaching. So they probably don't know anything about the accents. That would be not very useful to talk about some models or patterns of intonation or whatever if they don't know the basics. So I'm just going to talk about something very simple and a lot of examples. That's it.
Weren't we planning to have a redneck podcast once?
Yeah, I remember the idea. Yeah,
I think we have to do it.
It shouldn't be spontaneous.
You have to get prepared. Because I guess Asya and I were already prepared. We can get into character. What was it? Wendy and Sandy.
Sandy, yeah.
From Pasadena, born and raised.
Provide an example of redneck speaking as a teaser.
I guess Asya is more proficient in American English.
No, not today.
Yes, and you just were talking about how spontaneous you are at being rednecks. And now you're, I don't know.
What was the song that we were planning to sing?
One bourbon.
One bourbon, one scotch and one beer. I started already writing the second one about Lola and Asya.
Wow. I'll break the news to Lola.
Are you going for a novel?
I guess a series of stories,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on the next Agatha Christie.
Agatha Christie didn't write about dogs.
She wrote detective stories. I love detective. I found out that I love detective stories.
I guess no, you're more... who's the author of The X-Files? Chris Carter?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you're more Chris Carter rather than an Agatha Christie.
It's sort of a detective with some a hint of mystery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was nice talking to you, and I will see you next week then.
Right. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
Lots of books and discussions at www.lingvistov.ru.